Step lively, watch the closing doors. The conductor says, "Hey, you need a lift? I'm going uptown." It may sound like something out of Alice in Wonderland, but in fact, many New Yorkers have had that experience. They've also heard the 66th Street stop described as an octave under Lincoln Center, or perhaps something about George Washington's bridge work at 181st Street. Maybe you're one of those New Yorkers. But you won't be hearing those things anymore, because subway conductor Harry Nugent has just retired after 20 years of riding the rails and being a kind of underground tour guide for New Yorkers and our guests. Before he disappears too far from public view, however, I'm happy to have Harry Nugent in the studio with me today. Hi.
Hi, Brian. I'm delighted to be here. Thanks to seeing Alice retiring.
Well, you know, I live near Broadway, but I usually take the express from 96th to Chambers Street as my daily commute. But I've heard you from time to time, and always had the thought, oh my God, there's a human being conducting this train. Did you start getting creative with your announcements, in part to keep from getting numb down there?
Yeah, well, as you may have noticed from time to time, there is some need for a little improvement in the environment down there. And also improvement in my working condition. And that's exactly it. I didn't want to just become a mechanical extension of the equipment down there. And I did try to humanize my environment. And also, I bring about maybe a little more of a sense of relaxation among the passengers as well.
I don't think I ever heard you at my home stop. What did you used to say at 96th Street?
Well, 96th Street, that's an interesting stop. I might talk about Symphony Space. I may discuss, by the way, if you're running low on last opportunities, you're in luck. We have a last opportunity for you here to transfer the 2 and 3 express trains. And what you may have heard is true about 96th Street. You do have a parting of the ways with 2 and 3 express trains. Our destinations, our goals are the same, but our destinations are different. And, well, sometimes it's better that way.
And people file on. What about down here at Chambers Street? I don't think I ever heard that one either.
Well, Chambers Street, I suppose I probably am using, if it happens to be a presidential year or somebody is running, I might say Chambers Street, where we share the platform with with our running mates, numbers 2 and 3 express trains. My announcements vary.
I think Columbo will always be number one.
Yeah, well, but my announcements often vary as to what is going on in the community as well.
You were a big celebrity, certainly for a subway conductor. People that used to know your schedule and pass up an earlier train sometimes so they could ride on your train. That must have made you feel very good.
Well, I could never quite really believe that in the beginning. And I was probably one of the last people to get on board starting to recognize my popularity. You know, I'm in a little cab and I have the doors closed. And I really don't have that much communication with the passengers except for a little window. So I've been told that, but I've never taken it too seriously. And of course, I really never take any of this too seriously, except that some people seem to benefit from it, and, well, that's just fine.
You've actually had the radio host experience, because I sit here in a little booth, with my little headphones, and do my little thing. And sometimes I go out on the street, and somebody comes up to me and says, "Oh, Brian, you know, I heard that show today. That was terrific." Or, "That was horrible, you're terrible," you know, whatever it is. And I'm like, oh my God, people actually hear this. They hear what I do in that little room.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, it's scary. You know, they run up sometimes on the platform to see what I look like, you know, to see who is this voice, you know. And of course, I use a radio line, and they hit you as well. And, oh, you don't sound right. Or, I don't look like me, you know, or something like that. Sometimes they'll say you sure don't. You know?
It's never a compliment. I've talked about that before. It's never a compliment, especially when you're young and single, and the young women can fantasize whatever they want in terms of an appearance to go with a voice that they already like, and then they meet you and it's, oh, you don't look anything like what you sound. It's never a compliment. Did you have a mentor or a role model? Were there other conductors you used to listen to or anything like that being creative in that way?
Not, there were other, I didn't have a role model, per se. But I've heard other conductors from time to time where their personality sort of broke through these stereotype announcements. And in some instances, I thought they were pretty good. What got me going was the Transit simply wanted to have an increase in communication and a little more rapport with the passengers. And,
so this is something that came from...
I read it. Communication, of course, is very important. You can imagine. You know what it's like to sit on a train, not hear anything being said,
right,
wondering what's going on. This is what they were concerned about. But the then president, David Gunn, had said the conductor seems to be a little lacking in humor. Well, I didn't think I was lacking in humor. I said, well, this may offer me an opportunity. So that was probably the catalyst.
You probably got some groans for some of your puns
along the way. Sure. I say things that aren't as funny in the world, but I have ever said that. I try not to do that again, sure.
My guest is subway conductor Harry Nugent, who just retired after 20 years of probably being the most distinctive conductor, certainly on the Broadway local, perhaps in the entire system. And we invite your phone calls if perhaps you're one of those people who rode Harry's train or just inadvertently heard him from time to time. If you want to call up with your own suggestions for how subway conductors could be creative and make their passengers feel more at home. Not that I think Harry has so much clout at this point once he left the system, but let's talk about it. Any favorite Harry Nugent lines of your own that you remember? 212-267-WNYC, 267-9692. And you know, Harry, it's amazing to me that more conductors don't do something creative. If you have to talk every minute or so, which is, I guess, what it is, and say the same things over and over again, I would think people would gravitate naturally towards some variety. Why don't you think it happens that way more?
Well, they do have a standard for announcements with conductors. I think conductors do tend, some of them tend to gravitate. Some of them fight announcing altogether. And but you see, we have what's called the Blue Book. And the Blue Book has a set of standard announcements for every situation, which is excellent because the conductor is not quite sure how to express himself. He has something to fall back on. But they're a little nervous in the transit about those who will go beyond that because they may not use good judgment. We had a fella out there thought he was Presley singing about blue suede shoes. We had another fella doing rap. And maybe he was good, I don't know. But whatever you do, it has to be relevant to your job and to where the passenger is, where he's getting off. And if a pun can underline it, well, so be it. But it should have some relationship to what you're doing.
Let me ask you one more thing, and then we'll talk to some of the many fans who have instantly packed our phone line. How come so many conductors are not only not creative, but seem to pride themselves in being unintelligible, speaking what I call their own private dialect, like, let's close the doors. Can you explain that?
Well, a lot of them, of course, never thought they were going in the communication business when they became a conductor. And they don't think in those terms. Also, to a great extent, the equipment itself in some of these lines is not conducive to communication. And very often, the announcements have a tendency to sound like the verbal extension of the graffiti that we used to have on the trains. So I think it's somewhat discouraging. But people are reticent. Some conductors simply fight making announcements and say as little as possible because, you know, it tires you out after a while.
I think you have to work hard to mumble as much as some of them do. But let's take some phone calls. Hannah in Manhattan, you're on the line.
Yeah, I want to say that I'm one of Harry Nugent's greatest fans, and his fame is worldwide. Of course, whenever someone comes to New York, I tell him to take the number one train, but I very often take the wrong one. And I want to make a suggestion, because I can never recall the marvelous things he used to say at 59th Street about criminal justice and John Jay, and the marvelous things about art and natural history at the 79th Street stop, and I bet if he just would publish on some home publishing thing some of his things, we could sell them.
Actually, you used to adore the graffiti, but he's almost better. <laughs> You used to adore the graffiti? Yeah, I used to study the graffiti, and they're all very interesting. You got somebody who likes both the graffiti and you. That might be a rare combination, but actually, her wish is a publisher's command, isn't it? Well, I am in communicating with some publishers right now, so we'll see what materializes.
Even the people, you could do desktop, you know. Like we could sell them in the subway. I think you would sell like hotcakes to help the transportation. Thank you, Hannah. Thanks so much. What was it that you said at 59th Street that entertained us so much? Oh, I would say when I came to the 59th Street station,
we would find Columbus Circle. That doesn't fulfill all your needs. Well, if you're clinically inclined, we have St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital nearby. If you enjoy enforcing laws, we have John Jay College for Criminal Justice. All you need is a chance. We have A, B, C, and D trains in alphabetical order for your convenience.
Jim in Manhattan, you're on the line.
Good morning, Brian. I remember the first time I heard Mr. Nugent, I thought I was listening to a conductor who was drunk. And I was sitting there listening, and I said,
was that your secret, the inspiration of the tiny microbes of alcohol?
And I said, and I couldn't believe it. And then I said, and I was looking around at the other people, and some of them were smiling, and I said, wow, somebody's finally flipped out in the subway system. But then as I began to listen to Mr. Nugent from time to time, I began to appreciate the humanity and wisdom of his comments. And I think that the transit system should, as a policy, perhaps try to include for the conductors on different lines. I mean, every single stop in Manhattan, in the boroughs, has a little history and personality to it. And I think it would be very enlightening and probably a lot of fun for passengers to have conductors, if they can spare the time in operating the train, to actually make little one-liner or comments along those lines. I think it'd be very interesting. Something along the lines of what you were doing when you're having these walking tours, and guys like
right,
that
right.
Help them construct things to better communicate to the public.
Interesting idea. You know, I'm curious, Jim, thank you very much. I'm curious as to whether you had something to say for every stop. Obviously, when you talk about 59th Street or Lincoln Center, some of these stops, it's easy. But, you know, what did you say at 18th Street? What did you say at 103rd Street? Were there things?
Well, 18th Street, I might, if I don't have anything to say, I might have said at 18th Street, there isn't enough I can say about this station because I don't know it.
Did you say that?
But it also has a dance theater workshop, and it's also near Bonnie's, it's just moved, and so there are things. Actually, to a great extent, I'm a product of my passengers, because it was the passengers that I started out to make a few elegant announcements, and some one passenger said, well, could you mention Carnegie Hall, or could you mention... somebody else will ask me to mention, give a show a mention, or so on. And so my repertoire broke up. The announcements actually were simply, they're really props for me to bounce off ideas and to play with them, you know. So the more information I had, the more I was able to play with. And it just built up over the years.
So there was no stop that particularly stumped you?
I suppose not, not really.
Pete in Manhattan, you're on the line with Harry Nugent.
How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I just wanted to say, I used to go to Columbia University, so I used to take the Uptown Local, and I used to catch Mr. Nugent sometimes in the morning, and it was great. Like, the first time I heard him, you know, it was just, you know, like the other caller was saying that, you know, people just smile and listen. And I just wanted to know, did you keep your announcement secular? Because I know in Cathedral Parkway, I don't think you've ever mentioned St. John's Divine Cathedral, which is a pretty awesome architectural.
Well, I would say, as a matter of fact, at 110th Street, I would say this is Cathedral Parkway, as in the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, known secularly as 110th Street. But I try now.
There's no separation of church and chant.
But I try to vary the announcers, and chances are you wrong. Wasn't referring to it.
Well, somebody's going to miss you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Pete.
How many runs up and down the number one train line do you do in an 8-hour shift?
I do 3 runs, and
three rounds.
Yeah, out. So they consume about 6 hours on the road.
Did you ever? It's such a straight line. Did you ever have the fans? Did you ever think, well, it'd be sometimes to conduct the F train or the G train or something that, you know, some of these trains that go some weird patterns?
Oh yeah, sure. I thought about it. As a matter of fact, even the transit asked me to consider going over to another line. But this. Very practical reasons. I worked that line because it's relatively near my home, and so that was probably the reason I stayed with it. And it was interesting because the more you stopped at these stations, as monotonous as it seemed, you could be constantly polishing your material. You wonder, and that was the challenge. You know, how do I deal with this station just a little differently this time?
Did you ever think of an announcement for a stop on another line? A la Jim's call, who said, you know, somebody should write down these things for every stop in the system. Did you ever think, gee, if I was conducting the E-train and stopping at Sutton Boulevard or whatever.
Well, I thought of what would I do if I worked over there? It would take time to build up. And so I never really thought too much about it.
Susan in Manhattan, you're on the line.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you. I came to New York about 6 years ago as a Juilliard student, and I found the train very daunting, except when I rode your line. And I just wanted to say thank you. You made a very good time, very bad time, very good. And also, it was nice to hear somebody speaking English in a way I could understand it on the train.
Thank you. Thank you for making it worthwhile.
Thank you. And let's see, George in Manhattan, you're on the line.
Yes, hello, Mr. Nugent. Hello?
Yes, George.
I think a couple of years ago I heard you make a cameo appearance on the Garrison Keillor program. Is that correct?
Well, I didn't make the appearance, but Garrison Keillor did the Broadway number one local players, and they did a takeoff on what I believe was my train and on some of my announcements. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was quite a compliment, really.
Well, I want to thank you again for a very pleasant ride.
Well, my pleasure.
Thank you for calling. Did the other conductors like you? I mean, did they resent what you did or anything like that?
It's sort of a mixed bag. Some, I think, were threatened by a feeling that would be expected they all have to do this. And so that, I think, was a negative. Some felt didn't justify all the attention that I did receive. Maybe they were right, but the attention came anyway.
Do you think that in recent years, you might have been less well received as the subways became more and more crowded with other announcements? You know, after the street news vendor guy and the guy giving out food and collecting donations and the guy singing old Youngblood songs, that people could find your announcements just another additional sound that they didn't want to hear?
Well, I was concerned about that. I was concerned about being intrusive in general with this sort of thing. And with all the other vendors and people coming through, I wondered how I was being received. But when I, you know, there were times they said, you know, am I losing my mind out here? What's going on with all this announcements? I start backing off. And somebody will come to my cab door and they say, why did you stop your announcement? I'd say, well, it's intermission. And he said, I brought my wife to hear it. So, you know, as much as, you know, at times I actually did want to back away from this, and but it was almost impossible.
Gary in Manhattan, you're on the line with Dr. Harry.
I just wanted to say that I loved hearing you on the number one turn. I live in Washington Heights, and I used to hear you a lot, and with a joy, it really brightened up my day in a significant way.
Thank you.
And I wondered if there was any way that you, if anyone talking to you about some kind of lasting position with the Transit Authority, any way that you could allow your contribution to continue on, even though you're not going to still be there?
I haven't heard any serious talk about my continuing on there. they gave me a wonderful send-off to be sure I didn't come back.
is that right?
Well, they did give me a wonderful, not to be sure I didn't come back, but no, I haven't had any solid offers.
No, it's a shame.
Would you be interested in something? Would you want to do front office work?
Well, I haven't thought in those terms. I really don't know what I could be doing for them that I couldn't do better on a train.
Did you retire just because it's time?
Well, it's just time, and before the passengers got wise to me.
Michael and Manhattan, you're on the line.
Hi, I just wanted to share one of my favorite Harry Nugent lines. One day during rush hour, he put things in perspective. A lot of people were crowding onto the train, and he said, "Please, everybody, this is not the last convoy out of Bosnia," which made us all stop and think. I like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Was that an ad lib?
Yes, it was. Well, most of what I do is ad-lib.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you never, you know, go a lot, and so I always thought, hey, he's written that stuff down.
No.
He's reading from the script.
No, I've never done it. I, matter of fact, when I leave the job, it's gone. I rarely ever think about what I'm going to say on the train after I leave the train. I was a little worried about that Bosnian one, though. I wonder, but I'm glad he received a positive reaction, and it concerned me a little.
Like a talk show host who thinks, oh, am I going to hear about that one later? Robin in Brooklyn, you're on the line.
Hi, Mr. Nugent. I just wanted to thank you also for making New York you are one of the reasons New York is a great place to live. And I'll miss you. And I wanted to share the first time I ever heard you in 1986. One of the ways you spiced up the 103rd Street station by telling us that it was near the former home of George and Ira Gershwin. And of course near the Hudson River, where perhaps they had fished for porgy and bass. So,
I'm glad you responded well to it. I was afraid to have to say that again.
No, well, people had already been smiling and getting quieter to be able to hear you, and that one brought the most delightful round of groans and just laughter.
Well,
and I've never forgotten it, and I've tried it myself, and I don't have your panache, really, but it always has a good effect. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. We just have a minute or two. Do you have an heir? Is there a young Harry Nugent out there? Online or other?
I've been told that I do have some heirs out there. I haven't heard them, though. But I suspect somebody's going to surpass me one of these days.
Oh, that might be hard to do, other than the 2 or the 3 train, which passed you many times on that long stretch between 14th and 34th Street. What are you going to do?
Well, right now, I'm going to probably write a book, if I ever finish writing thank you notes. I can't even get those done, so I don't know. But then I'll just see what presents itself as things go along.
Well, it is always a pleasure to have someone humanize a situation that is often numbing and sense-dulling, as the subway is in many cases. I actually like the subways in a lot of ways, but in some respects, you have to really shut down in the subway not to invade anybody else's space, and you took some chances down there, and I think all of New Yorkers are better for it.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.